Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends Accountant Radio Show. The Friends Accountant Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. Would you like to be a guest on the show? Send us an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, visit the website at friendsofkevin.com. So we're excited to take my friend Aaron Nielsen with us. We're going to be talking a little bit about virtual parenting time today. Hey, Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
So why don't we start at the beginning, because I know this is a new term for me. I've never heard of virtual parenting time. So what is it? How does it all work?
So in the divorce or custody context, when I talk about virtual parenting time, I'm talking about time that the non-custodial parent spends with their kids either over the phone, by video chat, online, or by some other method other than the traditional in-person visit.
So then who would want to use this?
Well, some people use virtual parenting time regularly as a supplement to the time that they spend with their kids in person. So, for example, a family that has an alternating week parenting schedule where the kids are with one parent 1 week and the other parent the next week might want to do a virtual visit in the middle of the off, what we call the off week, so that the parent who's not with the kids has an opportunity to check in with the kids without sort of disrupting the flow of the week. For other parents, they just live too far away from where their kids are to make frequent in-person visits fun for the kids or practical, particularly during the school year. And then, you know, families who have older teens often don't want to have a regular parenting schedule. And so building in a way to connect virtually with teens is a way to stay connected. And then I guess finally, it's also good as a backup tool. So a lot of parents find that they miss out on time with their kids that was otherwise scheduled because they might have to travel for work during what would have been their custodial time. A child or they might be sick. A child has something come up with their schedule. There's 1,000 reasons why parenting schedules get interrupted, and having a plan in place for virtual parenting time is great as a backup tool.
So this is, again, something that's relatively new to me, and I didn't know about it until today. Have you seen this being used successfully so far?
I'm not sure I've ever heard anybody use the term virtual parenting time before, but it's definitely something that we're seeing more and more in separation agreements where we talk about a parent having Skype time in order to sort of, as I said, check in between visits.
To me, it makes perfect sense. You know, maybe your child has mentioned to you they had a big exam today. So like you said, you know, hey, let's schedule a time. Hey, honey, how did the exam go? Or just, you know, like you said, I think it's just going to help people feel more connected, especially if you're in a situation where maybe you're seeing your child every other week, every other weekend. I just think it's going to do more to, you know, improve the relationship, but maybe just my take on it.
No, I think you're right, and we're lucky that we know we have this as a resource now. This isn't something that families have always had an opportunity to do. And I'll just sort of throw this out there as an aside, but studies have been done that show that parents who feel connected to their children, even if they, so payor parents who feel connected to their children are more likely to pay child support consistently, and that's a benefit to everybody. So for the parent who's out there thinking, I don't want to agree to Skype calls all the time, you know, there's a benefit to it.
So what are some of the tips for making it work? It seems like something that probably needs to be scheduled in advance.
Right. Well, virtual parenting time requires a plan. Every now and then it might be okay to just pick up the phone and call your child, but I think we all know the odds of having a meaningful interaction that way are probably pretty low. In a typical in-person interaction, so you need to make a plan. in a typical in-person interaction where you're like picking up your kids to spend time with them, you might be relying on somebody else to provide the entertainment. You're maybe going out to dinner or playing miniature golf, but in virtual parenting time, it's all about you. You're much more an actor than a participant, and so you need to show up with your plan, with your supplies, and be ready to go. On top of that, it really helps, I think, if the other parent buys in. If you need their help to prepare an activity on their end, just like packing the soccer uniform, if you were taking the child to a soccer game, you need to be able to communicate with that person and lay that groundwork ahead of time. One of the other benefits that we haven't talked about is the ability to do this sort of with one child at a time instead of trying to interact with all your children at the same time. This can be challenging to do, to try to Skype or to have another virtual interaction with more than one child at a time. So building into your plan sort of time to have a totally separate activity with your different children can be helpful.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Now, are there certain ages for the kids do you find that this works better for?
Virtual visiting can work for kids of all ages, but you have to, of course, gear the interaction towards the age of the child. So the options for what you might do with a 2-year-old are obviously different from what you might do with your 12-year-old. With very young kids, you might do something like reading stories. I try to suggest to parents of very young kids that they focus on building shared memories or rituals. So you might find a story that your child really likes and you read it to them at bedtime, or you teach them a song and you sing it with them at bedtime or at some other time. And in so doing, even though you're not there to be a part of their bedtime ritual, you can still establish a ritual of your own. As they're getting older. As the kids are getting older, you can change things up a little bit. You might have sort of sets of toys that you have and they have. So let's say you have a kid who likes to play Legos. You might have Legos at your house. They have Legos at their house. And the two of you play Legos together on, separate sides of the video screen. But it's still an interaction that you're having together. You're doing an activity together, showing each other what you're building, commenting on it. So it's a really, can be fun and a genuine interaction.
Now, does it get a little high when we start talking about teens?
The older your kids get, the more you have to take into account their interests and build a plan around what they want to do and be child-guided more than sort of coming up with ideas on your own. So brainstorming with your teen ahead of time about what kinds of things they might like to do can be helpful. You might have a kid who, you have a shared interest with, like playing the guitar, and maybe the two of you can do that together. You can even just play online video games together if that's something your child likes to do. As some parents I know even just sort of hang out virtually together where they have, the video connection open and the parent and the child are just sort of hanging out in the same space, just like you might if you were in a house together and you weren't actively engaged in an activity together, but you were there together in the same room. It's really, the options are endless just based on what your child thinks is fun.
Now, are there any pitfalls that we should be looking out for if we decide to do this?
One thing I've noticed is that, some people tend to think of virtual visits as being sort of less than in-person visits, less meaningful. And I think if everybody understands that they serve a different purpose, but they can be just as meaningful, people invest the work that needs to go into planning them. The other thing I've noticed, the biggest mistake I see people making, is that they get hung up on the visits lasting a particular length of time, like they want the visit to be an hour long, and it doesn't always work out that way. The most important thing is the quality of the connection, not how long it lasts. So, like if you're reading a story with a toddler, you might only have this connection for 3 minutes, but that's okay because you've had a meaningful connection. The child has ended the call happy and is going to want to come back and do it again. So just avoiding getting hung up on keeping a child on the call longer than they seem to be having fun is really probably the most important thing.
Now, will the court order a virtual parenting time if the other parent doesn't agree? Do you need buy-in for this? How does it all work? How do you make it all work?
Well, like anything else, it always works better if the parties are in agreement. But I would say, you know, unequivocally, yes, the courts will order this. All the research shows that, particularly with young kids, more frequent, even shorter contact is important for building and maintaining relationships. And for a lot of people, this is the only way that it can work. But like with any court order, this is, you know, it's great. It would be great to mediate this as an issue if you can. Everybody's family situation is really uniquely different. Their children's schedules, their work schedules, their children's, you know, interests and developmental levels. So the extent to which you can mediate either formally with a mediator or just, you know, with your attorneys, you're more likely to get an order that works for you rather than asking a judge to impose something on you.
So, Erin, how can people reach out to you, learn more about this, and see if this is an option for them?
People can reach me by email at enielson, N-I-E-L-S-O-N, at WCNLLP.com is probably the easiest way to reach me. My phone number is 781-235-5500.
Erin, I really appreciate you taking the time to call into the show. And as always, thanks for being my friend.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. Have a good one.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.